All right, we'll say good morning. Welcome to Meseches Nazir. So first I want to give a special welcome to Ira Grossman, who's joining us online from Saipan, right, in the Philippines. Yes, he works for FEMA. He's been deployed there after the terrible typhoons that were there. Mama's joining us from Saipan. So, all right, so if you think you can't get up in the morning, I'm sorry. No, Rachmanis. Yeah, it is 10:15 at night. That is true. Okay. Touche. All right, so this morning we have the incredible Zuchus to go ahead and start Meseches Nazir. A welcome back to everybody who has signed on for the next Mesechta. I want to give a special welcome to Adam David Edelman, who's joining us here. He's the fine-looking gentleman in the back in the black shirt. So make sure to give him a welcome, encourage him to come back. And Mirz Hashem, offer him rides, you know, in the morning if he needs whatever. It's the last, you know, whatever. Yeah, just a word about Nazir. So remember, again, we're all familiar with the concept of Nazirus, which we obviously will plumb the depths of Nazirus in just a little bit, Emir Tzashem, and in the coming weeks. But the idea of the Nazir ultimately is an individual who takes a neder in order to bolster his personal Kedusha. We'll discuss why he takes the neder, when he takes the neder, and we'll discuss the fundamental machlokas, if even such a neder is a good idea or not. And we will see that is a fundamental raging machlokas that has ramifications beyond the specifics of Nazir, and rather really is a fundamental dispute as to how the Jew views and relates to the material world. But in any event, what is clear is that the Nazir is an individual who is trying to take his life in a different direction and employs some pretty drastic means in order to be able to do so. Basic restrictions of the Nazir is not permitted to cut his hair, the Nazir is not permitted to go out and drink wine, and we're going to see it's not just wine, but it's grape products, which we'll discuss the scope of that, and of course he is not permitted to go ahead and come in contact with the dead, Tamei Mace. If he does come in contact with the mace, that ultimately ends the neder Nazirus, and under certain circumstances, he would have to start the neder again. At the conclusion of his neder Nazirus, there's a whole series of sacrificial rites that he has to perform, and that ultimately brings the neder Nazirus to an end. The duration of a neder Nazirus, so again, is something we'll discuss as well to see. Istam Nazirus we'll discuss versus specific nedarim of specific duration. So with that, let's begin the Mishnah. Again, it's a very short introduction, but Emir Tzashem will introduce the various parts of Nazir as we go through them. So, Kol Kinuye Nazirus Kinazirus. So we'll say, if this sounds familiar, remember again, we had Kinuyim and Yodos. We're going to come back to it again. It's actually very exciting, right? We're going to come back to it again. Emir Tzashem, we had it in the beginning of Maseches Nedarim. We're going to have it here now. So remember, A kinui is what we called an equivalent expression. So a kinui is there are two ways you can make a neder. Actually, there's more. There's multiple ways you can make a neder. But you can explicitly articulate a neder, or you could use another type of wording, another type of verbiage that was coined by the rabbis to mean the same thing as the explicit verbiage. And we'll give examples in just a moment. So kil kinui nezirus kinezirus. Any kinui of Nazirus is just as effective as a regular Nazirus. So take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, and obviously you're going to have a little bit of run withdrawal in the first couple of days of Nazir, but the good part is the rush is still on the page here. If you notice in the margin, it's on the left-hand margin, so we'll still have a little bit of leftover of Nadarim. So look what he writes here in Rashi. Kalamakabal alav Nazirus, but also lashon shebadul and chachamim. If someone accepts upon himself a neder nezirus, a Nazirite vow, with specific verbiage that the rabbis coined, harehu nazir. So he is a nazir. Kimo im amar hareini nazir. Kimo im amar hareini nazir. And these equivalent expressions are just as binding as if one explicitly said, "I am a nazir." And again, we're going to see in the Mishnah, Rashi's giving us coming attractions. Ve'elu heina kinui nezirus nazik. Naziach, paziach. Mi sha'amar harini nazik, o sha'amar harini naziach, o paziach. Harehu nazir. So again, if somebody says, use these words of nazik or naziach, ultimately that is the equivalent of saying nazir itself. He says, "Mishum halin tami is amri lashon shabbat chum." So we'll see again in the Gemara. We actually touched on this in Nedarim as to why does a kinui work. Is it that kinuyim are equivalent expressions from other languages, or is that kinuyim actually are just words that sound similar enough to the Iker Neder that the rabbi said, if you say it, you can get by with it. Back to the Mishnah. So halacha number one is if you accept upon yourself a Neder Nazirus, not by saying Harini Nazir, meaning the simplest way is to say, I'm a Nazir. But let's say you didn't say I'm a Nazir, instead you used an equivalent expression, so that works as well. Furthermore, HaOmer, Ahei, if a person says, I will be Harei Zeh Nazir, the person is also a Nazir. Nabosei, now here, we're going to spend a lot of time on this in the Gemara, but take a look at Rashi just a moment. HaOmer Ahei, Nabosei, this of course is very interesting, because a person says, I will be. Suddenly, again, the Mishnah says they're a Nazir. Afapi shalahotzi bisvas of Nazir. The Chiddush over here, of course, is what? I didn't say a hey Nazir. I just said what? Hey, I will be. So look at Rashi. Reza Nazir. Rashi says diyados nazirus kinazirus. Oh, and I will say now the Mishnah is talking about something different. We started off talking about kinuim. Now we're talking about yados. What's a yad? So we'll say just like if you can imagine, yad means like a handle, a hand. So just like the hand, when you pick up the handle of the cup. So what comes with it, amazingly enough? The cup. So too, again, when we have what's called yodos, yad is a partial declaration. And when you make a partial declaration, that partial declaration creates a whole reality. So therefore, the Mishnah says over here, if I say, ehei, I will be, that's the equivalent of saying what? That's the equivalent of saying, ehei, nazir. That I'll be a nazir. Okay. Harizi nazir. Oh, ehei, noah. Or back to the Mishnah. Or if I say, I will be beautiful, Nazir. Right? Ultimately, again, I'm sorry. Oh, hey, no, if I'll be beautiful, then ultimately, again, that makes me into a Nazir as well. So now, just so you understand what the Mishnah just did, and the Gemara is going to question this. The Mishnah began by talking about kinuyim, talking about the equivalent expressions, and then jumped into what? And then jumped into yados, so partial declaration. So the Gemara is going to question that. So now the Gemara goes back to kinuyim. Nazir, nozik, naziach, paziach, hareze nazir. So we'll say if a person uses any of these kinuyim, any of these equivalent expressions of nozik, naziach, paziach, person is a nazir. Or hareni kazeh, or if a person says, I'm going to be like this one. Or hareni misalsel, or I will be misalsel, and we'll discuss what that means in the Gemara. Or hareni michalkel, or I'll be michalkel. Hare alai lishaleach pera, or it is upon me to grow out my hair. If a person makes any of these expressions, hare ze nazir, he is a nazir. Hare alai tziporim. Oh, listen to this one. Let's see. He said, I hereby incumbent upon me to bring birds. So I'll say, so what does that mean? So remember, again, we know that a nazir at the end of his vow has a karban tziporim, has to go ahead and bring a specific bird offering. So what happens? So let's say a person says, I hereby accept upon myself birds. Rabbi Meir Omer Nazir. So Rabbi Meir says, that in fact is a Nazirite vow. The Chachamim say, Eino Nazir. And the Chachamim say, no, that is not a Nazirite vow. Again, I will say, so we will see Mir Hashem to be explained ultimately in the Gemara. Fine. Says the Gemara, Michti, Tani B'Seder Nashin Kai, my time at Tani Nazir. So we'll say, before we even get into anything else, the Gemara asks a very fundamental question, which is, what is this doing here? Meaning, remember, we are in the middle of Seder Nashim. So Seder Nashim are the Masechtos that speak about certain marital inyonim, right? We spoke about Maseches Ksuvis. So why is Nazir here in the middle of Seder Nashim? So we're asking first a placement question. So says the Gemara, the following, listen to this. The Gemara says, Tani, no, I'm sorry. So, Michti, Tana b'seder nashim, ma koi, my taima tani nazir. To which the Gemara says, Tana akra koi. Because the truth is, the Tana, the organizer of the Masechtos, is really working on the pasuk, based off the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? V'haya im lo simsa chin be'inav. So remember again, it will be, if she does not, she being the wife, does not find favor in the husband's eyes, why? Kimasa ba ervas davar. So we'll say here, the pasuk is talking about divorce. And the pasuk says that when does a couple get divorced? If she does not find favor in his eyes because he found some matter of immorality within her. V'achikamer, this is what it means to say. Mi garam la la'avira. So we'll say, if the wife, in fact, engaged in some type of immoral act, so clinical tests have shown that many acts of morality are preceded by overindulgence of alcohol. So what caused her to get into trouble is that maybe she drank, or whoever it was, drank too much wine. The ka'amar, kala roes sota bekilkula, yazir atzimim anayayin. And I will say, so remember again, since we're in the middle of Seder Nashim, and a big topic of Seder Nashim is when things go wrong in marriage, what causes things to go wrong in marriage? Ervas davar, some matter of immorality. What causes immorality? Wine. And what does the Gemara say? That when someone sees a sota v'kalkula, when someone ultimately sees that a woman has engaged in an act of immorality, they see immorality happen, what's the response? We'll discuss this in greater depth. Yazir asma v'nayayin, a person should become a nazir, abstaining from wine. Not forever, but at least from some amount of time. And therefore, I will say, essentially, the Gemara says is like this. And again, it's an interesting answer, but essentially, the Gemara says that Lamaisa, once we're talking about matters of marriage, and specifically, times in which there is a breakdown of marriage, and breakdown of marriage, according to the Torah, occurs because Matzaba Ervas Davar, there was some matter of immorality. Since immorality is often caused by wine, therefore, again, the Nazir represents the response to seeing immorality caused by wine, where a person takes an Adon Nazir to abstain from wine. That's why it's here in Seder Nashim. But let's take a quick look at Rashi. So Rashi is Tanak Rakai Ubedinhu Tahabile Lemisne Lebasar Sota. Now, see, what the Gemara just answered for us is just why it's here in Seder Nashim. What the Gemara did not answer for us is what? Why it's here after Maseches Nedarim. Meaning, using this logic, we should learn Nazir when? After Sota. So asks Rashi, Obedinhu Dahavilei Lemisnei Lebasar Sota. Using this logic, we should have actually taught Maseches Nazir after Sota. Listen to this. Ela Aidi Detanik Suvis, the Iker Seder Nashim. So we'll say, remember again, since we started with Ksuvas, and Ksuvas is really the primary Masechta of Seder Nashim, and listen to this, the Tana Be Perek Hamadir, and remember in Ksuvas, there is the Perek of Hamadir, ultimately again, with a husband taking certain Nidarim. So once in Maseches Ksuvas, they introduce the topic of Nidarim, Tana Le Nidarim Lebasa Ksuvas. So we'll say, once Ksuvas opened the door for Nidarim, then afterwards we went ahead and we learned Maseches Nidarim, Lebasa Ksuvas. Vahadir tani nazir, the masmach lekra, lindor neder lahazir. Lindor neder nazir. So I'll say, once you spoke about nedarim, remember, so Ksuvis spoke about nedarim. Once Ksuvis spoke about nedarim, this is Ramasekhas nedarim. Once Ramasekhas nedarim, I'll say, what is the paradigmatic neder? Is nazir. And again, even in the pasuk itself, the pasuk juxtaposes the concept of, or I should say, not juxtaposes, but when the Torah speaks about nazir, it uses the lashon of lindor neder nazir, and then afterwards v'hadir tana sota, the amar mar kolaroa sota bikalkula yazir atzvam in ayayin, and then again I will say, so, and then afterwards, so remember, I have to go to nedar. See, you have to. Right. So afterwards, I say, after we go ahead and we speak about Nedarim, then ultimately we go to Sota. So we'll say, so this is the progression ultimately of the Mesechtos here. We begin with Ksuvis because that's the anchor of Nashim. Then Ksuvis opens the door to Nedarim. We go to Nedarim. Then after Nedarim, again, since the Pasuk itself discusses, when discussing the Neder of Nazir, uses the Lashon of Lindar Neder, therefore we come to Nazir. Then after Nazir, we come to Sota, because Nazir and Sota are natural sister Mesechtos. Because the Maisa, again, Kolaroas, Besota, Bikalkula, Yazir, Atzlam, and Ayayin. Fine, now we know the placement. Says the Gemara, Pasach, Bikinuyim, Omefare, Shados. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah, seems to be going out of order. Remember, excuse me, how did the Mishnah start? The Mishnah began with a statement of all kinuyei neziros are like neziros. That if you make an equivalent, if you make a neder neziros using an equivalent term. Remember, what's an equivalent term? So how do you become, what's the simplest way to become a nazir? Simplest way? Hareini nazir. Good. But again, there are equivalent terms, which are terms that are not nazir, but affect the same neder neziros. For example, I'm a naziach. We'll see what those words mean. I'm a pazik. I'm a paziach. Whatever those words are, those are equivalent terms. So the Mishnah begins by saying all equivalent terms work to affect Nazirus, But then remember what happens. Umefarish yados. But then the Mishnah quickly segues into a discussion about yados, about partial declarations. That was ahei. I will be. So the Mishnah said, if I say I will be, suddenly I'm a nozir. I will say ahei is not a kinui. It's not an equivalent term. It is a yad. It's a partial declaration. So why are we jumping all over the place? Amarava v'itema kidi. So Rava said, others say this statement is without attribution. The Mishnah is missing a piece, and here's how you have to read it. Listen to this. Also, it's very important. Kol kinuye nezirus kinezirus, v'yados nezirus kinezirus. The way the Mishnah is supposed to read is like this. All kinuyim, all equivalent terms, are for nezirus, affect a regular nedir nezirus. V'yados nezirus, and partial declarations also affect a nedir nezirus. V'elu hein yados. And then the Mishnah says, I, and what are the examples of yados? Ha-omer ahei, one who says, I will be, ha-rei zen nozir. So okay, so now we understand there was a missing line of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah in fact means to say, all yados naziros are like naziros as well. To which the Gemara says, I, velifrosh, kinui beresha. I don't understand, but still, stylistically, why don't you say like this? If the Mishnah says, point A is, all kinuyei nedarim are like nedarim. Point B is, all yados nedarim are like nedarim. So then when you're illustrating the principles, wouldn't it make sense to first illustrate the kinuyim and then the yados, since the kinuyim were listed first? To which the Gemara says, oh, v'lifrosh kinuyei beresha, tana me'ahu disolik ha'hu mefarish beresha. To which the Gemara answers, there's a Mishnaic style here. And what's the style of Osai? There's sometimes when the Mishnah says two principles, right? A and B. The Mishnah will first illustrate B and then go back to A. In other words, that once you already mentioned B, instead of jumping A, B, A, B, just you spoke about A, you spoke about B. Now in illustrating the principles, illustrate the one that you're currently talking about. So you'll state principle A, state principle B, illustrate B, since you're already talking about B, and then go back and illustrate A. To which the Gemara says, Kidisnan, I'll give you other examples of this. Bamem madlikin, uvama'i madlikin. It sounds familiar. So right? Some say this. Some say this, Kabbalah Shabbos. Right? So what happens? So like the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos says, what do we light with and what don't we light with? Referring both to wicks and oils that we use for Neir Shabbos. So remember it says, Bamem madlikin, what do we light with? Ubama'i madlikin, and what don't we light with? Umefarish, ein madlikin bereisha. And remember again, the first thing the Mishnah goes through is what? The things that you can't use for candle lighting purposes. Next, Bama tomnin, ubama ein tomnin. Bose, this is speaking about hatmana. Remember, hatmana is the issue we have on Shabbos with insulating things. Bose, very important halacha. You can't insulate on Shabbos. That's an open-ended statement. But again, you can't insulate something on Shabbos. So you'll say to yourself, well, we never insulate something anyway. Remember, for example, you wouldn't be able to put a towel around, let's say, a pot that's on your blech on Shabbos to be able to go ahead and keep the heat inside the blech. Now, obviously, we're not going into these halakhos right now, but the Mishnah says over here, what can you insulate with and what can't you insulate with? Umefarish ein tomnin bereisha. And again, stylistically, so you see, it says you can insulate with certain things, you can do hatmana with certain things, you can't do hatmana with other things, and then it begins the illustration with saying what? And you can't do hatmana with the following. Next, b'ma isha yotza u'b'ma eina yotza. Remember, we saw some Masechet Shabbos that Chazal said there are certain accessories that a woman could go out with on Shabbos, and certain accessories that she can't. Remember, what was the issue over here? The concern that she may come to take it off to show it to her friend and end up carrying it down at Amas in Rosh Hasharabin. So the Mishnah says that what could a woman go out with on Shabbos, and what if she's not permitted to go out with? Umefaresh lo teitze bere isha bereisha. And what's the first thing the Mishnah illustrates? The things she can't go out. So let's say you get the point over here. So the point over here the Gemara is demonstrating is, our Mishnah is just following a style of Mishnaic symmetry that is present in many other places as well. Namely, we'll illustrate what will state concept A, concept B, but illustrate B first, because we're already talking about that, and then go back and illustrate A. But you must say, one second, but there are other examples. V'hotnan, An animal. So remember, an animal is permitted to go out with certain quote unquote accessories on Shabbos and certain things it can't, out of a concern again that the owner may come to carry them. And what does the Mishnah say? Umefaresh yotze gamal bereisha. And yet again, here the Mishnah discusses what? First, the things that an animal is permitted to go out with. So in this case over here, you had principle A, principle B, and yet what did the Mishnah do? Illustrated A before B. So jump back to A. Similarly, yesh nochalin umanchilin, nochalin velo manchilin. Rabbi said there are some people who inherit and bequeath. There are some people who inherit but don't bequeath. Manchilin velo nochalin. Some people who bequeath but don't inherit. Lo nochalin velo manchilin. And do not inherit and do not bequeath. Umefaresh elu nochalin umanchilin bereshin. Yeah, what did the Mishnah do over here? The Mishnah spoke about the people who inherit and bequeath first. So again, here Abba says this case is even better. Because what do you have over here? You have principles A, B, C, and D. And yet, what does the Mishnah do? Jump all the way back to A to illustrate it first. Elali Olam. So we'll say, so what you see over here, which is very important, which is that from a stylistic perspective, you see both. That you see that sometimes the Mishnah will state principle A and B and then go back to A, and sometimes it'll say A and B and what? And illustrate B. So says the Gemara, Elali Olam Taniyachi v'Taniyachi. You're right. In reality, you're going to find Mishnayos that follow both models. Both models. Ela Hasam Isura Dinafshehu Mefaresh Isura Dinafsheh Beresha. So here's the general principle. When we're talking about matters of Isurin, personal Isurin, so the first thing the Mishnah will illustrate is how that Isra plays out. So for example, Bame Madlikin or Bame Ein Madlikin. What can we light with and what don't we light with? Ein Madlikin. When you're dealing with matters of prohibition, so again, we'll discuss the prohibitions first, because again, as personal prohibitions, that's quite severe. However, Gabi Behema, the Isuri Aidi Behemahu, the Asi, Mefale Shate Bresha. What I will say, for example, in the case of Bame Behema or Bema Behema Yotza, Ma'in Behema Yotza. So we're talking about matters that have to do with the animal. So therefore, what? Therefore, that's not Isurin per se that apply to me as an individual, although they could apply to me as well. So therefore, we start with the permissive rulings first. Before you turn the page, just take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ela li olam tanihachi utanihachi umistabra taima dahasim gabi behema yotza aidi behemahu daasi shaasra the gamal latzis avahu eno chayiv b'davar shein aroi la hilchach kalisha isuru lahachim mefarish terbish." So listen to this. So the Gemara is saying is the following: under normal circumstances, really, this is not as much about a stylistic issue as much as it is about a halachic issue. Then when we're talking about matters of personal Isurim, so the Mishnah will always list the matters of personal Isurim first. But when it comes to Isurim that may not impact me as an individual, we won't necessarily discuss the Isurim first. So for example, when the Mishnah talks about what could an animal go out with on Shabbos and what can't an animal go out with on Shabbos, so we'll say, is that a personal Isur to me? Not really, meaning it's about the animal over here. So in that case, the Mishnah will begin first with the permissive rulings and then with the prohibited rulings. But let's say, for example, as you said, Bame Madlikin or Bame Ein Madlikin, what can I light with, which are dealing with potential issues of personal Isser? What do we start with? Ein Madlikin first. Furthermore, again, Gabe Amadeis, I'm sorry. Gabe Yesh Nochlin. So we'll say, what about the case of Yesh Nochlin? Remember again, so the Mishnah discussed, there are some people who inherit and bequeath. Some people who only inherit and don't bequeath. Some people who bequeath and don't inherit. And some people who don't inherit and don't bequeath. So what did the Mishnah do in that case? The Mishnah then jumped back to case number one to discuss the person who is nochel umanchil. He inherits and he bequeaths. So why do we jump back over there to case over A? So the Gemara says, Gabiyesh nochel nami mefarish iker nachalo bereisha. Oh. Because the Rebbe said what the Mishnah wanted to do was to define the paradigmatic case of inheritance law. What's the paradigmatic case of an inheritance law? Someone who was able to inherit and bequeath. So we might as well start with the basic halacha, the paradigmatic case, and then go back and illustrate the kind of the non-normal cases. Ela hacha lifrosh kinuye bereisha. So we'll say, so now we're kind of back to square one. So remember again, what's our kasha? So on one hand, we're in a good place. Baruch Hashem. I mean, that's an actual statement, right? We're in a good place, Baruch Hashem. But from a Gemara perspective, we're in a good place. Why? Because that Chisrei Mechstra helped us out a lot. Because at least now I know what does the Mishnah say. The Mishnah says, "Kol kinuye nezirus kinezirus." All kinuyim, equivalent statements, also affect neder and zirus. The chol yados nezirus kinezirus, and any yad partial declarations work as well. But I also know what did the Mishnah do. So the Mishnah then went after statement B and went back to go ahead and illustrate yados, illustrated B, and then jumped back to A afterwards. Now, remember, so we tried to answer that by saying, oh, that's the style of the Mishnah. The Mishnah states A, states B, illustrates B, and then goes back and illustrates A. Now, what have we just proven? That's not the case. Meaning, yes, that is a true statement, but it's equally as viable to say what? That you state A and B and go back and illustrate A and then B afterwards. So what's the reasons? It says the Gemara. So again, we're back to the same question. Ella, hacha lifrosh kinui bereisha. But again, I'm still bothered by this thing. Why don't you just follow a simple Mishnaic symmetry? You stated A, you stated B, go back and illustrate A and then illustrate B afterwards. Ella hainu, listen to this. Well, this is actually quite beautiful. Ella hainu tam yodos hovil va'asyon le midrasha chavivan le. To which the Gemara says, you're right. But you know what? The Mishnah is so eager to speak about yodos. Why is the Mishnah so eager to speak about yodos? Because the concept of a yad is learned out from a drasha. And things that are learned out from drashas, Chazal have a specific affinity to, because it wasn't obvious. It had to be learned out. So because it had to be learned out, therefore, Lemaise, again, Chazal jumped to it ultimately in the Mishnah. Take a look at Rashi Chavivanle, Vitani Lehu Beresha. Actually, well, first of all, just go back to the previous Rashi for just one moment. Elohacha Lifrosh Kinu Beresha, Elohainu Taima, Dimefari Shadas Beresha. So why do we discuss Yados first? The Hoel Va'asyanle Midrasha. We learn out Yados from a Drasha. What's the Drasha? Kedarmina Beperka Kama Dinadarim, Nazir Lahazir, Lasos Kinuye Nezirus Kinezirus, Vyados Nezirus Kinezirus. So, once again, remember, Yados are learned out from Nazir Lahazir, that extra phrase. So, what the Gemara answers over here is something quite fascinating. That even though the Mishnah began with talking about Kinuyim, and then it went to Yados, and even though logic would have dictated, we would have illustrated Kinuyim first and then gone back to Yados. But because yodos are learned out from a drasha, because they learned out from the pasuk, ultimately they're not explicit. Therefore, Chazal had a particular affinity for yodos, and therefore again put yodos, the illustration of yodos, first in the Mishnah. Now, by the way, Chazal could do that also. Why? Because in terms of Mishnaic symmetry, we have a precedent for that. It's okay because we have Mishnayos that have a what we're calling A B B A model, right? Where ultimately principle A, principle B, illustration A. Bless you. So once we have that framework, Chazal have a little bit of flexibility how they want to structure the Mishnah itself. We'll say it's actually quite amazing as well to tell you that in general, something you have to toil for is always much nearer and dearer for you. So a drasha is something, again, that's not explicit, something you had to work at a little bit more. When you have to work at it, it becomes much closer to your heart. So the Gemara goes weiter. V'lichtoch b'hom b'reisha. So, okay, so I have a better idea. If you love yados so much, why don't you start the Mishnah by saying that yados nezirus kinezirus? Who says you have to start out with kinuyim at all? Start out with yados first. To which the Gemara says, Tana ki maschil, maschil be'ikar karban. Because again, when the Tana wants to begin ultimately again with the ikar halacha. Take a look at Rashi again for just a moment. Tana ki maschil be'ikar karban bereisha, kigon, bikinuye nezirus, shehein einyon lashon nazir ki depreshna el. Because we both say, you know what? Because when the Mishnah begins, the Mishnah wants to begin first with the purest form of the halacha. And the purest form of the halacha is, a person says, Hareini Nazir. They both say, after saying Hareini Nazir, what's the next best thing, quote unquote, to saying Hareini Nazir? Next best thing would be the Kinuyim. Hareini Nazik. Hareini Paziach. These are the some. So what the Mishnah is going is from the strongest lashon and then going to the lashonos that most resemble the strongest lashon, which ultimately is a kinoy. I believe so. The Gemara says kimaschal maschal beikar karban or the inyan perushay mefarish shados bereisha. But I will say so. Therefore, again, now we finally understand the model of the Mishnah. So the model of the Mishnah is like this. When structuring the Mishnah, so Chazal wanted to start out, first of all, with the strongest Lashon. Now remember, Chazal don't have to say Hareini Nazir makes an Edu Nazirus. Why? Why doesn't the Mishnah have to say that? It's obvious. It's obvious. So therefore, again, when structuring the Mishnah, we want to essentially go after Hareini Nazir, what is the next strongest Lashon? I will say, when we say next strongest, doesn't mean any more effective. All of these lashonos are effective. It means we assume just intuitively that the strongest lashon after saying Hareini Nazir are the kinuyim, because the kinuyim are words that resemble the phrase Hareini Nazir. So therefore we put that first in the Mishnah, and then only afterwards do we say Yados. But when it comes to illustrating the principles, which principle do we illustrate first? We illustrate Yados first. Why? Because since Yados are learned out from the Drasha, they're closer to the hearts of the Tana of the Mishnah, and therefore we put them first. So we'll say, so now we understand, so therefore we understand, begin with the illustration of the principle most closest, or closest to, the paradigmatic utterance of Nazir, which is Kinuyim, then put in Yados, but then for the illustration, put in the ones that are quote-unquote closer to the hearts of the Tana, therefore again that's Yados, and then only afterwards Kinuyim. And this all works, why? Because this is an already approved framework for a Mishnah. It's the classic A-B-B-A model, and therefore, again, it works for the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, so Omer Ahezenazir, Harezenazir. So let's remember again, one of the examples of a Yad, a partial declaration was, a guy says, I will be a Nazir. I'm sorry, he doesn't say I'll be a Nazir. He just says, I will be. So what does the Mishnah say if he says, I will be? I'll be a Nazir. The Gemara says, I don't understand. How do you know that? Dilma ahe betainis ka'amar. Maybe the guy's saying, I'm going to be in a state of fasting. How do you know it's a Nazir? But also, by the way, this is just an example. But how do you possibly know what the word I will be? I know that means a neder nazirus. Amar Shmuel, oh, kegon shahaya nazir over lefanov. Oh, what's the case? So Shmuel says, you're right. Ahe by itself is not effective. But if Shimshon HaNazir is walking in front of me, and I look at him and I say, oh, I'm going to be, so then what, or I will be, then the fact that I make that statement, and the Nazir is walking in front of me, so those two things together, ultimately we understand from the context that I'm saying I want to be a Nazir. Salima Kasar Shmuel, Yadayim Shein Mochichos, Lohab Yadayim. So we'll say it's clear from Shmuel's statement, the fact that Shmuel needs to have the Nazir walking in front of me means that what? That inconclusive yadayim are not proper yadayim. The Nazir both say, as much as a yad is a partial declaration, a yad must be able to stand on its own. Meaning it has to be clear from the context what you are talking about. And if it's not clear from the context what you are talking about, then your yad is simply ineffective. Simply ineffective. To which the Gemara says, Amri bizman shenazir over lefanav leka lisapuka b'milsa achrina. Because it's clear from this case, if I say a hey, I will be, and there's another walking in front of me, it's clear from what it is that's happening in the circumstances that I mean to be a nazir. Ava vaday ein nazir over lefanav amrinon dilma a hey b'taynis ka'amar. But I will say it would appear based on Shmuel's statement that if, let's say, there was not a nazir walking in front of me, and I just made the statement that what? That I should be, that we could say that what? That can mean I should be the tightness, I should be in a fast day. So meaning, almost like, what the Gemara is just saying over here is, again, let's just be clear. So what you're telling me is, if the Nazir is walking in front of me, and I say, I will be, so okay, so the circumstances are such that it's clear I will be a Nazir. If the Nazir was not walking in front of me, how would we interpret the phrase, I will be? That sounds like he's accepting upon himself a fast. I will be in a state of fasting. So the Gemara now questions that. How do you know that means that? The Dilma, the potro min carbonosav kamar. So we'll say, let's take this for just a little bit. Look at Rashi, which is actually, I'll just read these two outside. So let's say, even in this case where the Nazir is walking in front of me. So Shmuel says, let's play this out. So I'm sitting over here. a Nazir walks in front of me, I say, hey, I want to be. So how does the Mishnah interpret that statement? I want to be a Nazir. How do you know that? Maybe what it means is, V'dilma, v'potro min karbonosav ka'amar. Maybe the case over here is where what Rabbo say, where when the Nazir walks in front of me and I say, I will be, maybe what it means is, I will be responsible for his karbonos, meaning I'm sponsoring that Nazir. Well, so, you know, you could do this, by the way. You could sponsor karbanos. What does that mean? So let's say again, Shimshon the Nazir is walking in front of me. I know he's a Nazir. I say, you know what? I want to sponsor his karbanos, meaning I want to pick up the tab on his karbanos. Maybe that's what ehei means. I will be the sponsor. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is, just because the Nazir is walking in front of me and I say I will be, how do you know I will be means I will be a Nazir? Maybe I will be means I will be responsible to pay for his karbanos. To which the Gemara says, oh, dika'amar belibo. I will say, oh, so what's the case over here? So what's the case? The case is where the guy says, Rashi says, hachamai askinan, kegon sha'amar shebelibo haya lekaba alav nazirus. So we'll say, so what happens? So now this is all coming together. What happens? Where after, so I'm standing over here, Shimshon the Nazir walks by, I say, hey, I will be, and then they ask me afterwards, oh, what did you mean? So I say, oh, what I meant is I want to be a Nazir. Now again, I'm about to say, I didn't articulate that clearly, but I say that what I was thinking, I tell people, at the time that Shimshon walked by me, and I said, I will be, I had in mind that I want to be a Nazir. To which the Gemara says, okay, ihachi mai lememra. So we'll say, if that's the case, that lemaisa, again, later on I explain that my intent was to be a Nazir, so what's the problem? I mean, what's the chiddush? Of course, so what's the shaila? To which the Gemara says, mau detema, what would I have thought? Ba'inan piv velibo shavin. So we'll say, I might have thought to find, take a look at Rashi for just a moment, ba'inan shi'e piv velibo shavin. I might have thought that in order for a Nazirite vow to be effective, what has to happen, Abosai? My words have to explicitly mirror my internal intent. That's what I thought. And therefore, again, in a case where I say, hey, I will be, it's very nice that later on I clarify that what I meant to say was what? Or what I meant by saying I will be is that I will be a Nazir. That's fine. But you know what? It wasn't explicitly clear at the time I made the utterance. Therefore, perhaps it should not work at all. Kamashmalan, that is not the case. Kamashmalan, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Kamashmalan, Delo Bo'inon Ubilvachi Yehei Nazir over the fun of. I'm sorry. Deloba inam bevachi nazir alafanav ha'im ain nazir over the fun of afagav darav belibo kevan delo hotzi bisvasav lovim mucham milsa. So we'll say, listen to this. So therefore, aloch lemaisa, what we say is that no, it does not have to be piv velibo shavin. Rabbi says it's a very important halacha. So now what we see is that if you make a yad, the partial declaration, and that partial declaration is not explicitly clear, but you clarify that statement later on, that statement is in fact effective. It does work. Even though it was not piv velibo shavin at the time of the utterance, even at the time that you made the neder, lemaisa, it was not explicitly clear. If you clarify it later on, you are believed to clarify later on what you meant earlier. So we'll say, that is the halacha lemaisa over here. Let's just call it a little bit weiter. So again, just to be clear, so the way that the Gemara ends off clarifying the cases like Shmuel, that the case of a hay is where a nazir walks by, I say, I will be, Eve, and then what? And then again, the further clarification is later on. I explain that my intent when I said "Hey," is that what? Is that I'm going to be a Nazir? What's the chiddush? The chiddush is that even though when I said "Hey," it was not what? It was not explicitly clear as to what my kavana was. Since I clarify my kavana later on, I'm still a Nazir. And the chiddush is that my words need not be explicitly clear as to what my intentions are. That even though my words are somewhat ambiguous, because I clarify those words later on, ultimately the Nazirite vow works.
But the Nazir is not walking by, it would not, if I have the intention.
That is correct. That is correct. So if there's no Nazir walking by, I just say, hey, I will be. So I will be is just, could mean anything. Now you might be believed later on to say, I'll be Betinus. You might be believed later on, but it will not be a Nazirite vow. Says, you know, so let's just go a little bit weiter. What about Ehe Nozir? So what happens if a person says, I will be beautiful? So the Mishnah says that what? The Mishnah says that such a person will be a Nozir. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, why should that work? So Vidoma, I know the fun of a mitzvah. Maybe when I say I will be beautiful means I will perform my mitzvos beautifully. For example, Kidisanyo, Zekil Ivan Vehu. Remember the Pasuk says, this is my God and I will exalt it. So exalt him. So what does the Gemara say? And not all of the mitzvot. So we'll say this is the directive to not just perform mitzvot, but to perform mitzvot beautifully. As on the fun of sukkah, I'll make a beautiful sukkah. Lulav, not a beautiful lulav. Tzitzis, not a beautiful tzitzis. Echtov the fun of sefer Torah, not I'll write before him a beautiful sefer Torah. Va'achrechenu b'shirai noim, and I'll go ahead and what? I'll go ahead and I will wrap it in beautiful silk. So the Gemara is asking over here is when a guy says, I'm going to be beautiful. So how do you know that means that he's going to be a Nazir? Maybe it just means that he's being makabel upon himself to do his mitzvahs beautifully. To which the Gemara says, oh, Amar Shmuel, shetafos b'saro va'amar anoa. What's the case? We'll say where he grabs onto his hair and he says to his hair and he says, oh, I'm going to become beautiful. Which we interpret to mean as a statement that what? That he's going to allow his hair to grow out, which circumstantially then tells us that he's talking about Nizirus. All right, we'll stop over here. So again, remember, just to point out, what you begin to see coming out over here is that Yodos, partial declarations only work if what? Only work if circumstantially it's clear what your intention was. So in the case of where a person says, hey, I will be, you need, number one, circumstantially, there has to be a Nazir walking by, that's number one. And number two, again, there has to be a later clarification as to what the person actually meant by that neder. And in the case of hey, no, I'll be beautiful, that by itself is not enough either. You need some kind of circumstantial evidence. In this case, what's the circumstantial evidence? A person is holding on to his hair. The fact that he's holding on to his hair, which is such an important piece of the Nazirite process, indicates to us what? That he's accepting upon himself an Ad Nazir. So stop over here to be continued tomorrow, Amir Sasha.
He says a hey, and then he starts being a kabbal upon himself, the physical manifestations of Nazir.